Hello, everyone. Welcome to Connect 2017, Day 3. My name is Adrian Stevens.
And I'm Mark Smith.
And we're part of Xamarin University, and we're here to tell you about building cross-platform applications with Visual Studio, Xamarin, and .NET.
Awesome.
So, should we tell them a little bit about Xamarin University before we get started here?
Absolutely.
Well, so Xamarin University is really, it is the premier place to learn cross-platform mobile development for Microsoft and Microsoft Technologies.
So what sorts of things can I get at Xamarin University, Adrian?
There's a lot of great things you get at Xamarin University. So much to talk about. We've got a ton of free training content, So you can learn cross-platform mobile development, Azure Attach. And then when you're ready to move beyond the basics, we've got a subscriber model with live training.
Yeah, expert trainers that you can come in and actually get deep training on a variety of topics such as architecture and design patterns and async use inside your mobile app.
Absolutely. We've got over 70 courses. Content's always growing. And we also have office hours, which means you can interact with instructors one-on-one. So you can ask them questions about really anything related to .NET cross-platform mobile development. So you could have a question about a technology or an approach or a strategy, or even ask about your own code, about your own projects.
Yeah, I think this is one of the coolest features of Xamarin University because you get actual time one-on-one with an expert developer where you can bring your code up, you can ask questions, and you can get answers.
Pretty fantastic. Awesome. And you've got exclusive time with those instructors. We also have certification. This is the place to go for mobile certification with Microsoft. We've got two certification tiers. One can be earned by completing the free training through Xamarin University, and then we have a higher-level training certification, which really just shows off your cross-platform mobile expertise. It shows that you've got experience building mobile applications, deploying to Android, iOS. You understand architectural patterns, code sharing.
Right. And then we actually have a Job Connect site called DevConnect. So you can go and actually register your account with DevConnect, show off your skills, and find employers that are looking for mobile developers, and so we can connect those two things together and actually build some awesome apps.
That's fantastic. So learn development, get certified, find a job.
Yeah, check out university.xamarin.com.
Excellent.
Awesome, well, we're here to talk about building mobile apps with Xamarin technology. And one of the things that we've found as we kind of have explored this whole mobile scenario, it's really grown over time, and what we're seeing today is that users consume their data on a variety of devices. In fact, it's very likely that you probably own one or more devices that you actually do your data on. It might be your TV or your gaming system or your phone or your tablet or your PC.
Absolutely. I think I've got three with me right here and and many more at home. But yeah, it's not just developers. Consumers as well use a lot of different devices over a lot of different ecosystems as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's just a pattern that's becoming more and more prevalent. And not only are they using more devices, they expect to see their data actually moving between those devices.
Right, and they're not thinking about who makes the device or what version they're on.
No, absolutely
not. They expect their
data
to be there with them
on
the device they're using.
Yeah, a common example is if I start a book on one device, I might be traveling and actually pick up a different device, and I want to be exactly where I left off in that book, be able to continue reading.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I expect it.
Yeah, and so how do we do this? How do we actually make sure that our data is moving between those devices in a cross-platform way? Because I don't want to enforce, you know, my expectations on what the user is going to buy or use in terms of their device.
Well, I think it comes down to making cross-platform applications that are backed by a cloud backend.
Yeah.
Probably Azure.
Yeah, maybe. We'd like that.
We'd like that, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, when we actually start building mobile applications with the Xamarin toolset, really there's a couple of different approaches you can use. And it comes down to how much you actually want to share with your code. So a traditional developer approach that we often see is where a company or an individual actually build multiple apps. And so they want to target multiple platforms, in this case, iOS, Windows, and Android. And if they use the traditional approach where they're actually using the vendor tools, they'll often have to build that same app multiple times.
Right, so there's a cost involved, and there's probably, well, it's going to take longer, most likely.
Most likely, and very likely, as you add features, I mean, at least what we've experienced, you'll have one platform that's significantly more advanced than another. You'll have the same sorts of bugs that are often happening in different code, but across different platforms.
Right, and you're checking different code, you're fixing it in multiple places, different languages.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not all bad, though. Of course,
no.
Using the vendor tools means that you get native performance.
That's right.
A native feature set.
That's exactly right. Right, you get access to the latest of the platform features. So those are great reasons to actually look at using those native tools. Right, but we actually would like to do it a different way. So if you're doing iOS, you would do Swift or Objective-C, and you'd use Xcode. For Windows, of course, you'd use C#, potentially .NET,
absolutely.
Visual Studio, and
my
then of
preference.
Course for for Android, we would be using Android Studio with Java, and we'd actually build our app.
Right, so not even just different languages, different tools as well.
That's right, exactly. It's completely different IDEs. Yeah, that's right. The Xamarin approach is a little bit different. So our idea is we want to be able to target all of those platforms, but do it in a cross-platform way so that we use one language, one tool set. I don't have to learn all those different tools. I can actually share the code between all those platforms, so when I implement a feature, very likely I can get it to those other platforms very quickly. When I fix a bug, I can get that bug fixed on every single one of those platforms simultaneously.
Fantastic. While still maintaining the native feature sets and native performance.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And so I'm going to build my code in C#. I'm going to use Visual Studio. I'm going to use the power of .NET. And then I'm going to actually deploy that to Windows, iOS, and Android. And I should mention, by the way, that we're kind of talking about mobile apps here, but the ecosystem is much bigger than that.
Absolutely. We've seen a lot of new platforms being added. macOS support is it's not final yet, but it's in release.
Yes, it's in the released packages.
Tizen.
So
another mobile platform.
Yep, so Samsung's big appliance platform on TVs and refrigerators. You can build apps for your refrigerator.
And we've seen announcements for things like WPF.
That's
and,
right.
And even Linux support.
That's exactly right. And so we're looking at a very broad ecosystem. So IoT, desktop, and mobile all combined with one shared code platform.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, that's exactly right. So one of the things that people always ask when we talk about cross-platform development, and one of the concerns that they have is, well, gosh, what kind of penalty am I going to pay in terms of performance? Well, the thing with Xamarin is we actually compile down to a native app. So we talked a little bit about the native platforms where I'm using the native vendor tools. And one of the things that you just said, Adrian, is, well, an advantage is you get a native app, right? So we get high performance. You know, we can take advantage of all those platform features. Well, Xamarin's the same way. When we actually compile down, we're building a native app. You're getting the same app package that you would if you'd use the vendor tool.
It's pretty exciting, and we actually leverage the vendor tools. So Xamarin is using the build chain, well, the vendors, you are getting a native application, but it's written in C# and you get to leverage the power of .NET.
That's exactly right. That's a huge feature. Another thing that's really important today is that Xamarin is all open source. And so there's no black box magic that's happening here. Instead, you can actually go right into open.xamarin.com and you can go and see exactly how something's implemented. If you don't understand how to take advantage of a feature, or you're looking just to see maybe how a renderer is built or how something is connected, you can actually go download the GitHub repository, you can build it yourself, or just explore the code, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that's something I love because you can see how the Xamarin engineers are building the tools, the patterns that they're following, and as Ashley said, we can dig into the features and see how things are working, and maybe even contribute features or fixes.
Yeah, that's right. They do take pull requests, so that's pretty awesome too. So there's really two different approaches when we use Xamarin. When you're building an app, and this is one of the choices that you're often going to have to choose when you start the development process, you can choose to use the original approach, which was called a native UI. And this is where my user interface is going to be described using the tools that are vendor specific.
And this goes back to talking about how Xamarin uses the native toolchain, right? We're using the native tools. We use the native UI tools as well. Now, again, still leveraging C#, but we get all those same features that native vendor tools apply.
That's exactly right. And so in iOS, for example, we'd be using storyboards. In Android, we'd be using layout files. And of course, in UWP or whatever other platform you're choosing, you'd use XAML or something
right.
like that.
Using Xamarin, using Blend.
And yeah, and one of the things that a lot of people said was, we love the idea of being able to share code, but we don't like having to actually re-implement the user interface multiple times, because that's the penalty, right? When we use a native UI, we're having to redraw or kind of redesign the UI for each platform.
I feel like we're duplicating work, and we were showing the three platforms, but now we're looking at possibly six, seven, even more platforms. It'd be nice to have some sort of abstraction that allows us to implement that UI once and have it applied to all of those platforms.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where we came up with this idea of Xamarin Forms. Xamarin Forms is not Xamarin. I want to make that clear. It's part of the Xamarin framework, but Xamarin Forms is a cross-platform UI toolkit. So it allows us to describe the user interface using the sort of things that you already probably use today, XAML, for example, using a set of elements that are common across all of our visual platforms, like buttons and labels. And then it will actually build a native user interface from that description. So we're still getting a native UI, but we're able to describe and sort of build or design our user interface with one implementation.
Fantastic. Yeah. I can't wait to see this in action.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So let's actually just sort of compare those two. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio here. I already have it up. I am on the preview edition, and I'm just going to do a new project.
We're using 2017.
I am using 2017, and again, I'm on the preview, so I'm on 15.5. Is that
15.5, I believe. Yeah,
something like that. The latest, and you can get that as well. If you go to visualstudio.com/preview, you can actually download this exact same version of Visual Studio. I'm going to go to the cross-platform section under Visual C# and pick cross-platform app. Now, it says Xamarin Forms. I'm going to just change this to native app, and I'm going to put it on my desktop. And I get a little wizard here that comes up, and notice that I have blank app and master details. So I have two different templates I can choose from here. And you can see that it gives you some details about what you're going to get out of this. I can pick my platforms. In this particular case, I have Android, iOS, and Windows, or UWP. I can pick my UI technology, so Xamarin Forms are native. So even though the template says Xamarin Forms, you can actually build native UI with this exact same template. And then I have two different code sharing strategies. Shared project, where all of my source files and XAML files and things like that would be sucked into each one of the native projects. And so there's no binary deliverable with a shared project. It's actually just a list of source files that get compiled directly into the app. And then .NET Standard. So .NET Standard 2 is a new feature of Xamarin Forms and of Xamarin.
Really excited about.
That allows us to share code at the binary level, and it generates assemblies that actually are usable across a wide set of platforms.
Absolutely, which means they're shareable, they're testable.
Yes, exactly right.
And of course, they work with more than just these three platforms. It's .NET Standard.
Right, it's .NET Standard. The idea is it's standard, so yeah. We can use it in a variety of places. So I'm going to do a native UI in this case and click OK. And it's going to build me three applications and then plus one more library, which is my .NET Standard library. And it's super fast. I love that.
It's super fast. The new version is it's very quick.
Yeah, so notice that I have an Android app here. And if I look inside here, you can see it's got some references. Mono.android, that's the equivalent of of essentially MS Core Lib that you would see in a desktop app.
It's our .NET library.
It's the runtime.
It's the runtime.
That's right. We also have system.core and system.xml. Those are the same assemblies that you're used to. So if you're doing .NET development, you're probably familiar with those. And then, of course, we have a reference to the .NET Standard library that's at the very top. Notice it just has this single class in it with really nothing there. So it's really just a single class that has no implementation to it.
It's a blank slate.
It is. It's a blank slate. Now, notice inside my Android app, I also have a resources folder that has, for example, an AXML file. This is the description of the UI.
Right. So, of course, if you are a native Android developer using Java, this would all be very familiar to you.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then I have this class called MainActivity. MainActivity is essentially Android is composed of activities. When you build an Android app, you have an activity typically for each page or screen that you're going to display that's a unique page. And then in this particular case, notice it derives from a class called Activity that comes out of Android.app. Now, this looks like C#. Because the code itself is, but this class right here that we're actually deriving from, I want to point out that it's actually a native wrapper. So it is a C#, it's a thin little wrapper around the activity class, but the activity class itself is actually a Java class coming from the Android SDK.
So we're using the native types
provided by
the Android SDK. So there's no interpretation here. There's nothing being reinvented by Xamarin. We're leveraging the native types, the native
Absolutely.
APIs.
Really, Xamarin is just a way of being able to interact with these other platforms. So we allow C# to be able to interact with these other types, whether it's Java types in the case of Android or Objective-C and Swift types in the case of iOS. That's exactly right.
Fantastic.
And so notice it's got a button, and it's pulling out this button out of the UI, and then it's got a little delegate handler for the click handler.
And really quick, notice that although we're using the native types, we're also coding in a C# way, right? We're using delegates.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Description.
And then on the iOS side, we've got an app delegate, so that's really our starting point. And notice it derives from something called UI application delegate that comes out of UIKit. UIKit is an Apple thing.
Native type.
Yeah, it's a native type. So the same sort of thing is happening here, where we're actually leveraging native types from the platforms coming from the vendors, which
Fantastic.
Is pretty cool. And in fact, if you want, you can actually pull up like decompilers here. So here's mono.android. It's really, really ugly. But if I go into android.app, I can find activity here and let it decompile that. So if I double click on that, it should decompile. And you'll be able to see exactly what that code looks like. Now, in this particular case, you can see that it's really, really nasty kind of looking code. And the reason why is because we don't actually write this code. We actually have tools, and you can see them in the open source repository, that take the existing Java things, and they actually build all this sort of layer for us. So the binding layer is actually machine generated based upon that. And then we've got some partial classes that sort of fill in the gaps.
And I'm not seeing much code here.
Right? No, that's right. In fact, you can see, for example, that most of this stuff is really just JNI type work that's happening here. That's the Java native interfaces. So we're just kind of transitioning from the managed C-sharp world into the Java world. Right? And we can see the same sort of thing with iOS as well. But let me just go ahead and run one of these. We'll do it on the Android device here.
And while Mark's doing that, we do have a question. So Samuel asked, PCL or shared project? So I will say that moving forward, we definitely recommend .NET standard over PCL, but it's kind of the question of, you know, compiled library versus shared project. Many opinions on this. I tend towards the library. I like .NET standard. I like the encapsulation, but there are definitely use cases where shared projects are just a little bit easier to work with.
Yeah.
Comes down to whether you want to test that library independently, do you want to share the compiled library? I love them both, and they're both great solutions for Xamarin and Xamarin Forms.
Right. The reality is there's not a lot you can do in one that you necessarily can't do in the other. It just may require more work one way or the other.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to how you want to actually share your code. So this is gone ahead and deployed, and it's on my Android device. You can see I have a Android phone here that's plugged in, and it put a little button up here, and every time I click the button, you can see I'm going to get a little click handler. And in fact, if we just minimize this for a second and go back to that activity. Where did it go? There it is. I could even come over here and put a breakpoint like into this delegate handler. And then if I tap on this button, you can see I've actually stopped on that handler right there. And so I can actually see this is an Android widget button, and I can see all the details about it. So that's pretty darn cool. This is a native UI. We're actually leveraging completely the Android and iOS UI kind of constructs in order to actually construct and build the UI. So that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
It is.
It's those familiar Windows development patterns, but we're deploying to iOS, Android, maybe Linux in the future.
So the other option that we have is Xamarin Forms. Tell me about Xamarin Forms. Why would I choose Xamarin Forms?
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little before. It really comes down to it's the single UI definition. It's the shared UI definition. So this is a great slide to look at this. We see iOS, Android, Windows, and there's actually a couple flavors of Windows that are going to be supported by Xamarin Forms. So we're talking 6, 7 plus platforms. That's possibly 7 different UIs we have to construct, we have to test.
Wow.
So using Xamarin Forms means that we can create a single UI definition that applies to all these platforms. But again, as you said earlier, that shared UI definition is actually creating native controls, a native UI, mm-hmm. when it's at runtime on the platforms.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So really, why? It's a huge time saver.
Yeah. And the reality is when Xamarin Forms was originally introduced, there were a lot of concerns about things that weren't necessarily available in Xamarin Forms because it is an abstraction. Right, and so, for example, we've got buttons and labels and entries to be able to enter in text, but some of the more custom controls that you find on a platform, for instance, iOS has a segmented control. So it's like a toggle box that you can pick one of the choices from.
But it's unique to iOS.
iOS, and so it's not exposed in Xamarin Forms because there's no corresponding control that's available in Android or in UWP for that matter.
Right, so Xamarin Forms, it's a generalization of UI. So we've got components elements that are common across all these platforms. So we're going to often line of business applications are a great use for Xamarin Forms. Mm-hmm. But we're not necessarily leveraging all of the individual unique controls on the platforms.
Right.
But we can.
That's right. So one of the newest features that was just introduced into the platform was something called Xamarin Forms Native Forms. So Native Forms, what they allow us to do is actually build a page in Xamarin Forms, which you're going to see in just a moment, and I can actually integrate it into a native iOS or Android application, or UWP app. And so the idea being that I don't have to pick and choose between native UI or Xamarin Forms. I can go down a path and then decide, well, for this particular screen, I want to use a native UI or I want to use a Forms UI, and it will just work.
And this is really exciting because the honest truth is most of the time, many applications don't leverage those unique controls. Mm-hmm. But there are times you want them, and those are often the things that make your application feel unique or feel like it's integrated well with the platform. So it's really nice to have that flexibility. Use Xamarin Forms for a lot of your UI, pull in the native components when you need to,
right,
to add that little bit extra polish.
Yeah, and prior to the native forms, you had the ability to create custom renderers, and the idea behind a renderer is it's just the thing that's going to generate the native UI for the abstraction. And so our general advice now with native forms and with the ability to kind of do embedding of native controls within forms itself is if you find yourself creating a bunch of renders, maybe it's time to switch to a native UI and then use Xamarin Forms pages to backfill the specific pages that you want to share.
And I'm really excited that we have that flexibility.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
And we're not locked in. We can go back and forth as needed.
Yep, totally cool. So let's talk just a little bit about what we want to build today. So we're going to be part of Frugal's Garden Center. So you
Excellent.
And I have just joined into business. And
Fantastic.
We know nothing about plants, unfortunately. But we're going to open
little.
A garden center because we hear there's a lot of money in that.
We know more about monkeys, I think, but less
that's
about
right.
plants. Yeah.
That's right. Well, we're going to hire some monkeys or teenagers because, again, this is Frugal's Garden Center. So we're going to hire some teenagers. And unfortunately, teenagers don't know a lot about plants either. But yeah. luckily, teenagers always have their phone with them. In fact, I
Perfect.
Think it's kind of attached at some way
yeah.
to their pocket,
they're
their hand
born
or
with
hip.
Them now,
That's
I
right.
Think. Yes, yeah.
They come it's out of the hospital with a phone. And so they have phones. And so what we're going to do is we're going to commission to build an app so that students that are part or some of our employees that are our helpers in the
yep.
garden center,
yep.
they can take their phone and when a customer comes up and asks a question, they can just take a picture of the plant and have the phone actually identified, okay? And so we commissioned a great design center to build some mock-ups for us.
Possibly also a teenager.
Yeah, well, we paid a lot of money for
yeah.
this. So, and so this is sort of the screen that we'd like to build. We're going to focus more on this first screen here. And the idea is we want to be able to put a label at the top that has, you know, take the photo, make sure everything is in the photo. We're going to have two buttons, take photo and a use photo. We'll have an activity indicator in there to say that we're doing something. And then we'll have an error message that can be presented at the bottom.
Now, this app looks great, but do teenagers all use the same type of phone?
No. See, that's the problem is because, again, we're not going to give them a phone.
No.
This is Frugal's Garden Center. And so we want them to bring their own device, which
okay.
is a common thing. Often a lot of enterprises are allowing people to bring devices into the enterprise.
Absolutely.
So it's BYOD, but we're going to install the app. And so we don't care if you have an Android phone, an iOS phone, or even a Windows phone.
Absolutely.
If for instance, you still have a Windows phone.
I do.
I do, too. I think there's one in my bag, in fact. And so we're going to have a couple different screens, but we're going to focus primarily on this first screen here. And we're going to use Xamarin Forms to do it because we want to actually use a cross-platform UI. And so I'm going to go back to Visual Studio here, and I'm going to say File New, and we're going to go back to that project. And same cross-platform, but this time I'm going to say Garden Center. Actually, I'm going to call it Garden Helper. Create a new solution. Same thing that we had before. We're going to start again with a blank app. Master Detail does add a bunch of other things into it.
Right.
But it's not stuff that it's not things that I typically need when I'm starting an app. It often, you know, if you're building a Master Detail app and that's what you need, then that could be a good template to start with.
Absolutely.
But more often than not, you're probably going to start with Xamarin Forms.
Yeah, I mean, it's called that plumbing for that navigation paradigm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I'm going to click OK, and I'm going to use Shared Project Xamarin Forms. Let it go ahead and build. So here you go. We've got a little shared project up here. It has a couple of files, app.xaml and mainpage.xaml. So in Xamarin Forms, we describe our UI with XAML typically, but you can do it in C# as well. So you can build it up constructively using object sort of methods. And then, of course, we have our Android, iOS, and UWP app here. So even though we're using Xamarin Forms, we still have these platform-specific applications, because that's what's actually going to get published to the store, or that's what we're going to actually install on the device.
Right, so we're still making those native applications.
That's exactly right. It's still a fully native app, so when we build the Android app, you're going to get an APK file. When you build the iOS app, you're going to get an app bundle that you would then submit up to the App Store and be able to make a bunch of money from.
It's the same shape we saw when using the native UI. And again, just showing the Xamarin Forms, it's a UI abstraction layer on top.
That's exactly right.
Or say a UI, a cross-platform UI definition.
Yes, that's correct. And so here we've got our mainpage.xaml. Notice it just starts with a content page. A page just represents a single page in your application. Content page is a page representation that has one piece of content. So it's very similar to, if you use UWP, a page in UWP. And we have a label here. And I'm going to go ahead and use a somewhat new feature called Live Player. And so I'm going to go ahead and connect up to Live Player. And let's see here. Let me see if I can actually, let me build this first.
Excellent. And this is a really exciting tool. It is in preview.
It is in preview. And so sometimes it's a little tricky to get it connected. But more often than not, it's pretty stable.
But I'm pretty excited. As you're about to see, it's a really handy tool for especially getting your UI set up.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And we do have a question, actually, while that's deploying. So Colin asked, does Xamarin support app tethering? So i.e. Android app or iOS apps interacting with a desktop app. And so there's nothing built into the Xamarin framework, because again, we're just leveraging the native API sets. We're using native iOS APIs, native Android APIs, or say UWP, for example. But of course, there's lots of ways we could interact. We could connect a mobile app to a desktop app, or a mobile app to another mobile app, or a desktop app to another desktop app. I mean, Azure is really the perfect foundation for these kinds of things. We could create a REST API, a web app, or an API app in Azure. We could leverage Azure services. We could share data using a multitude of table storage options in Azure. So nothing built in, but yeah, there's lots and lots of options to connect applications. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later on today, actually.
Yeah, that's right. And so what I've done here, as Adrian was talking, is I've gone ahead and paired my Samsung device to the Live Player. And you can see that it's showing up here, Samsung device. And then I could just right-click on my XAML here, and I can click Live Run. And what that will do is that will actually interpret this content page here, and it will display it on my device, which is pretty darn cool. You can see here that Welcome to Xamarin Forms, that's the label being displayed here. And the reason we call it Live Run is because it's live. I can say font size is large, and I can say text color is, stop. Text color is red, and I save that, and it should, in just a second, update over here as well on the phone.
And this is the phone on your desk right here.
It is the phone sitting here right on my desk. And so there you go. You can see this is the device that's actually running. And we can see the view that's here. And so that's Live Run. And so this is a nice way to actually design out a screen, because I can use this to sort of see my screen as I build it. So remember that we had three sort of things that were present in our screen.
Right. So we had our initial text at the top. We had some buttons.
Yep. We had some buttons, and then what else was in there?
We had a status bar.
I'm going to have you tell me what we want to build here.
All right. Well, I think we definitely want a section at the top.
Yep.
For our label, for our some text.
All right.
For our application.
So we'll say we've got three rows.
Perfect.
How's that?
Yes.
All right. And this is a grid, and the grids allow me to sort of describe my data in a tabular kind of form.
All right. So, and we should be very familiar to many developers who use anything else that. Any other XAML technologies, this is very similar.
Yep, that's right.
Android has the same concept of tables as well, or very similar, I should say.
Yep, that's right. And so we're going to set our background color to dark green, right? And it should hopefully pick that up here in a second. All right, and then what we'll want to do is we'll put the label across the top.
Perfect.
Right? So we'll stick that in the first row. And I'm going to go ahead and stick it in a frame. 3, 4, 5, 6. And then we'll put our label in there. And we'll just say, take a photo, or actually make sure the plant is completely in the photo with all the distinguishing characteristics, period. Okay.
You're braver than I am.
I know. okay, let's see if that comes up there. So there it is.
And it's fast.
Yeah,
very
you can
quick.
See here it is. It's green. Here's my piece. But of course, we want that to be just at the top. And so what we can do is we can say the height for this is just going to be auto.
And again, very similar to other XAML-based.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you can see now it's just auto. All right, the next thing that we want is what?
Well, our input, our controls.
All right, so we're going to put a couple buttons. And so we'll say text equal take a photo. Right, and so that'll be my first button. And boy, it's too quick. It's like catching it while I type, and it's giving me an error there. All right, and then the other one we're going to want to do is go ahead and use an existing photo.
All right, so something stored on the phone already.
That's right. Okay. Now, these are two buttons, and what's going to happen here when we put it in here is it's going to stick it up at the top here. And so if I tell it to go ahead, since it had that error, it didn't do it, you can see that now we've got these two buttons here at the top. And so these really need to be in the second row.
Absolutely.
Right, the way we do that is we just tell the control, I want this to be in grid row 1. And this will also be in grid row 1. And then it's going to move it down, and you can see that I just have this one button, and then the other button is now sitting on top
right.
of it. Now, we want these to be side by side, or so. I guess we could put them top to bottom, but I want them side by side.
Side by side, I think it's nice.
That's what the designer showed us in our little piece, and so I'm going to say grid.column.
Now, Mark, you haven't defined columns yet, though, in your grid.
I haven't, actually, and this is one of the areas. So a lot of people ask about Xamarin Forms XAML. Is it the same as the XAML that I'm used to? With, say, UWP or WPF or even Silverlight, if we go back, the answer is sort of.
Similar.
So the XAML is a specification, and it describes a way of inflating an object graph where we use elements to create objects and properties to then set or rather attributes on the XML elements to set properties. But the things we're creating are going to be different. That's the first thing.
Right, and so we're creating Xamarin form types, Xamarin forms elements.
That's right, and some of the behavior is going to be a little bit different as well. So notice all I said was grid column one and or grid column zero, grid column one, and I ended up with my buttons side by side. I didn't have to define a column definition here because the Xamarin Forms XAML engine just said, well, I see that you're doing columns. I'm assuming that you want columns, so I'm just going to create two equally spaced columns. And it does that for us. Now, if you want, you can actually just do a grid column definitions as well. We could put two column definition objects in there. It would accomplish the same thing. It's up to you whether or not you want to be explicit about it or not. Some people really prefer that.
And I say I love this personal preference for simple applications. I've got a small amount of UI. It's great to throw it in there. It's a little bit less typing, a little bit less work. For bigger chunks of UI, bigger, more complex pages, I like to be explicit. Like, make it really clear, you know, read my code, what's going on. But it's personal preference.
I get that. I totally get that. And so I'm going to put a label in here as well. We'll say the text color is going to be red. And we're going to set the text to be error goes here. Okay, so, and that's in grid row two. And again, it kind of gave us a little bit of a, it caught me while I was trying to type. So notice what's happened here. So we've got this little frame down here at the bottom, and it says error goes here. The problem is that it's only sitting in that first column. And in fact, we have the same problem with this.
Right.
Right, because now we've used two columns. The system created two columns for us, even though we didn't deliberately say that. It does it anyway. And now I'm going to have to go back to those other two elements and say, you know what, I want it to actually stretch across those two columns. And the way we do that is, again, we're just going to apply another property value here, and we'll say grid column span is going to be 2. And I'm going to copy that.
And you can see it's updated already.
It's updating already, which is pretty cool. That's why we call it Live Player. And so now I can see my frame is there. But these two are kind of oddly spaced here. The first thing I'm going to do is I really want this to be at the bottom. And so I'm going to say my vertical options are going to be end. It catches me too quick there. All right, my vertical options are going to be at the end. And then the other thing that we're going to do, and so now notice it went down to the bottom here. The other thing that I want to do here is go ahead and put an activity indicator in this. So remember we had an activity indicator. And our activity indicator, you know what I'm going to do? Just to kind of keep this from happening because it's a little bit annoying. I'm just going to lock that in place.
Perfect.
And kind of move that down. So that way it can throw things in there and I don't care. And we'll put it in the same row. So I'm going to say grid row 2. And I'm going to say is running equal true. I don't know why I don't have my IntelliSense there. That's all right. And then what we'll do is we'll say width request is 48 and height request is 48.
Reasonable size for our
activity. And then let's go ahead and say vertical options is going to be center and horizontal options is going to be center. And let's just see what that looks like. So let's try forcing that to live run, see what it says. That's why I didn't have any. You should have pointed that out to me.
Oh, it's an indicator, yes.
Indicator. Got to have an indicator there.
Excellent.
So notice what it did, though. It gave me a nice little build error here saying that it can't find whatever that property is. And in fact, if we look at the errors, it does sort of tell you no bindable property vertication options because I'm a horrible typer. and so we need to just change that. And so now notice I get my IntelliSense back, which is kind of nice.
Fantastic.
All right, and so what it should do now is, let me just hit the live run, and we should then get a little activity indicator. And so there it is, a little blue spinning activity indicator, but I want it to also be spanning both of those columns.
Get that centered horizontally.
So grid column span is going to be 2, so it'll be centered. And the other thing that I might want to do is just change the color of it, just so that it fits on that background. All right, so we'll make it white, and now you can see I've got my nice
really nice, really nice.
But you can see we just sort of constructed this by hand, typing things in. Let's do one more thing here, because I think that would be kind of cool. And then I'll show you the app with multiple pages in it. So I'm going to go here, and I've got some assets. Just minimize this for just a second. And specifically, I've got some drawable assets here. I'm just going to grab these assets and throw them into my Android app. Now, assets in Android all go into a resources folder here. And so here's my resources, and here's the drawable. Now, normally what you would do is you would have actually have multiple sized assets. We don't have time, really, for that, and plus we're cheap, so this is Frugal Garden.
The low cost, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm going to put them in here, but notice that we get an Android resource and an Android resource and Android resource. So I have two PNGs that are camera and a tulip, and then I have a background JPEG that we're actually going to put as the background of the app itself.
And really nice that build action set appropriately when the files are added.
Yes, it set the build action automatically when I just drag them in, which was pretty cool. And so I'm going to go ahead and say the source is background PNG. So source equal background dot PNG. Actually, I think it's JPEG. And then we'll say aspect is going to be aspect fill because I want it to fill the area.
But maintain its shape.
But maintain its shape, yep. And then we'll say grid row span is going to be 3 because I want it to be across all the rows.
Perfect.
And grid column span is 2 because I want it to sit across both columns. All right, so let's just see if we can capture that. And what we should see is, boom, we get a nice little image.
Just like that.
Super cool.
Super quick.
Yeah, and the other thing we probably want to do here is let's just put a different background color on our buttons. So maybe what we'll do here is like 5, 0, 3, 4, 5, 6. And there you go. So it's partially transparent.
Right. So that's the alpha.
That's the alpha and then RGB. And again, we could pick some other colors here. You know, our designer probably should give us some better colors. But now we can kind of see the image behind the buttons, which is pretty darn cool.
Looks great.
Yeah. And then the other thing we'll probably want to do is just say vertical options is going to be center. Now, notice that one of the things that's happening here is I'm ending up putting a lot of kind of XAML into these buttons, and a lot of it is very, very similar, right? So I'm kind of copying these tags. What we'll want to do with that is we'll want to move that into a style. And so when I pull up the final, or at least the completed project for this session, you'll be able to see that we've actually moved that into a style so that
Absolutely.
The buttons only specify the things that are unique to that button, and then we move everything else off into a style.
Which, of course, is great for maintenance and updates as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because then I can change the property value in one place, and it affects everybody that uses it. So the other thing I want to put in here, and unfortunately LivePlayer is not going to support this, is I'm going to say camera.png is the icon for this, and actually I think it's not icon, it's image. So we'll say camera.png. And so it's not going to actually display this because Live Player is ignoring this particular field. But and then the other one we have is tulip.png.
Right, and again, it's in preview, and so we'll expect these features added.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so normally what we would see is a little icon that would be sitting there.
Which is pretty exciting. This is actually a new feature of Xamarin Forms as well.
It is. Yeah, a lot of people always ask, well, how do I get an image into that button? Well, now we give you an image property that you can actually set on the button. And you do have to have the image in your platform-specific project. So in this case, I've got it in my Android app. But it'll drag it in, and it'll actually place it just to the left over here on the button itself, and there'll be space that's put there for it.
Fantastic. I'm just going to jump in a couple of quick questions. There's a couple others, and we'll get to them at the end of the session, but someone asked, is there an example of Frugal Garden available? Yes, we have it on GitHub, and we'll share the link at the end of our session.
Yep, that's exactly right. I'm going to go ahead and open up the next iteration of this app just so we can see it, but I wanted people to be able to see kind of building up that screen with Live Player because it's fantastic as a design resource. I can display it and it runs right on my app. You can also run it on an emulator. So you can actually go and download the APK. If you go look in the docs for Live Player, they give you a link for the Hockey app distribution, which has an APK. You can download that APK and then drag it onto the emulator. And so if you don't have a physical device, I actually prefer to use physical devices. I find them to be just a little bit easier to work with. But if you don't have one, or if you just want to try it on a variety of other things, you can actually run it within the Android emulator.
Which is really
as well.
Exciting. And we had a question earlier, are we going to demo that? We won't demo that today, but yes, it is absolutely possible, and there is great documentation available.
Yeah, so I've actually gone ahead and opened up the next iteration of this. And so you can see here that I've actually got a couple more pages, and my main page is going to look pretty similar to what we just built. We've got our background, we've got our frame with the label, we've got our buttons. Notice that the buttons themselves only have stuff in them that's unique to the button. So the text, the image, grid column, grid row. We're doing commanding to be able to get it into a view model that I'll show you in a second. And then there's an automation ID so that I can identify that button when I write UI tests for this.
Ah, excellent.
And then, of course, we've got our activity indicator. Notice that we've changed our activity indicator to actually use an is running flag with an is busy. and an isVisible with the isBusy so that we have a property in our view model and we can just change that property's value from false to true and the activity indicator just shows up on the screen. When we're done, we can reset that isBusy back to false and the activity indicator goes away. So this is kind of the idea behind the design pattern model view view model where my view model is driving the logic and all it's doing is changing properties and the binding engine is setting properties on the visual elements to be able to make them show up, make them go away, change their values, right, colors, that sort of thing.
You're not naming any of your visual elements here, for example. We don't have to actually access them by
name.
That's
all exactly
binding.
Right. Yep, yeah. None of these have names, so there's no fields that are created for these. It's strictly driven by the view model, which is really helpful because it means that I can write unit tests against the view model to test the majority of my application. Right? I can't necessarily test the UI presence. We'll use UI tests for that.
Absolutely.
But what I can do is I can test the logic that's being driven by the application through those properties. So the other thing that I want to show here that's kind of cool, or at least I think it's cool, is we've got our label here. So this is where we're going to display our error, right? Our frame at the very bottom. And now we're going to set the text to a binding of error. So we've got a property in our view model that I'll show you here in a second.
Excellent.
That's just an error property that has a string. And we're going to go ahead and have a second property called hasError that's a Boolean. And so if there's a value set on the error, we'll trigger that Boolean hasError to be true. And we're setting that to be the isVisible state for the frame. So the frame will actually show up when there's an error, and then it will disappear when there's not an error. And so, again, this is just a way of reporting feedback to the user that's using our app, but it's driven through the view model, which is great.
Really nice. Letting the view model kind of give some guidance to the view without taking over, without actually manually adjusting properties on the views.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, so I created this little view models .NET standard library here, and it's got a view models folder. And again, all this code is in GitHub, so you guys can access all this. We've got it in the slides towards the end. You'll be able to see it. And so this has actually been connected up with commanding and all that kind of stuff. And so I just want to show you a couple of things. First of all, the isBusy, so this is the isBusy property that we just saw that was bound to that frame at the bottom. And so notice it's just a Boolean field here, but one of the things that we're going to drive on this is we're going to drive the commands. And so remember we have two buttons. We have one that takes a photo and one that is going to pull something from our photo library. We've chosen to use a plugin for this, so there's some common code that we use called Cross Media that you can actually install into your app, and it basically will handle the abstractions between iOS, Android, and UWP for you.
This actually ties nicely to a question we have. William asked, how do we handle platform-specific issues, such as working with Bluetooth or maybe like with the camera?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So William, there's a couple ways you can do it. One thing that you can go look at is there's a GitHub repo out there with a bunch of plugins. And so we've already got plugins that are built for a lot of specific scenarios, like dealing with the camera or dealing with say, for instance, authentication
or
GPS, location,
network
maps,
yep.
Yeah, those kinds of things. So we have these cross-platform plugins that you can actually use, and they're all available in NuGet. And most of them are open source, and so
yes,
you can even go look at the source code that's behind them. The second thing you can do is if you don't have an abstraction available to you, you can build one, and the way it typically works is you create an interface that's going to sort of represent it generically, and then you have an implementation of that interface in each one of the platform-specific projects.
Right, because we have platform-specific projects, and we are ultimately compiling platform-specific binaries.
That's right, and those platforms actually have APIs to deal with the camera and deal with GPS and deal with, the gyroscope of the phone. So you can go read those values in a platform-specific way, and you'll have an implementation that then somehow reports that back through the abstraction. Your view models use the abstraction, so they depend completely on the interface, but the implementation behind it is done in a platform-specific way.
And I will mention quickly, we do have courses at XAMU, and we actually have a free course, Xamarin 110, which shows the basics of doing cross-platform abstraction and implementation. So yeah, absolutely. Check out XAMU for some free training on this.
Yeah, and so just to give you an example, William, this is how we're doing it for the photos. We actually have a NuGet package that's added to this, and it's got a couple of methods on it. So let me just scroll down here. So here's how we're going to pick a photo. We first make sure it's initialized. So we're going to call this cross media current initialize. So notice cross media current just comes back with an iMedia. That's our abstraction, iMedia. There's a different implementation for Android, there's an implementation for iOS, and there's an implementation for UWP. And then we're going to say, okay, can we pick a photo? So is that supported on this platform? Because we might be running on a device that doesn't support a gallery of photos. If we do support that, then we're going to call this pick photo async. And again, that's going to be implemented by the platform-specific feature that's going to go and pull up the gallery and do something with it.
But all defined in our abstraction.
Yeah, but all defined in the abstraction. And then we'll ultimately what we're going to get back is this abstraction, again, called a media file. And the media file has in it a path, the album path, and then it allows you to get the stream to the path. So you can actually go retrieve whatever that image happens to be. And so we've got methods here to pick a photo or to take a photo. So you can see here's how we're going to take a photo. And then what we're going to do is process that photo. And so in this particular case, you can see here that we're going to, again, use kind of an abstraction here. We've got an abstraction called iDependencyService. So we're using a very common pattern here, an inversion of control where I can go and retrieve. It's called a service locator. I can go and retrieve a dependency for me. We could also inject those. So I could, for instance, take the required things that I need inside this code as part of my construction of the object, and we could construct it that way. In this case, I'm just going to use the service locator. Now, we've got another package that's been installed here.
Right.
Often when you use MVVM, you have some base view model requirements, so things to raise property change notifications, stuff like that. We have a library at Xamarin University that we walk you through in one of our classes when we talk about MVVM, and you kind of build some of that stuff.
Right.
It's exposed as a NuGet package, and I just added it here because we often just tend to use that. And one of the things it has in it is just an abstraction around a built-in dependency service that's in Xamarin Forms.
Which is actually built into Xamarin Forms, so we have that replicator in there already, so that tool's
probably. Yeah, and so we could actually take a dependency on it directly. I could say dependencyService.get. The problem is then my view model is now dependent on Xamarin Forms. And one of the things I'd like to do is kind of keep it loosely coupled so it's not really aware of the UI platform that it's using.
We've got C# code. We could potentially go outside of this platform supported by Xamarin.
Sure, I could use this code with an iOS app, for example, or directly with
just
a native
not a Xamarin
UI
Forms app.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that people will often ask is, what if I've built my app with Xamarin Forms and then I decide later on that I want to do a native UI? Totally possible. And one of the ways you would do that is you would make sure to abstract out, or rather separate out, all of your business logic into different classes so they're not combined directly into our XAML. So notice our XAML files, that shared project, and even the Android, iOS, and UWP project, they don't use these classes directly. It's all done through binding, which means I can just drive this view model to actually drive that business logic.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
This is a really nice bit of example code, so yeah.
Yeah, and so you can kind of walk through this, but this is the view model. It's deriving from a class called ErrorViewModel that I just want to point out real quick, and this is our class, the simple view model. But notice what we've done here. We've got this error text field that's just a string, and whenever we set an error, this is kind of cool, Adrian. Whenever we set an error, we're going to go ahead and set the value, and if we did change the value, this little method is just kind of a dumb method. It just changes the field's value and ensures that it returns true or false if the value really did change. We raise a property change on hasError, so we're going to tell the system, the binding engine, hey, this property changed too,
right?
And this one already has its property change notification done as part of this method here. But then what we're going to do is we're going to actually wait 8 seconds, and then after 8 seconds, we're going to clear the error. So here's what happens in the app. The error shows up, right? The frame is displayed. We see the error text. It shows up for 8 seconds, and then it disappears off the screen. And so we don't have to clear the error. We're actually doing it as part of the view model infrastructure.
Fantastic.
And the cool thing is this is all testable. We can do all of this directly with unit tests or anything like that.
Pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And so let me just run it actually on my local machine here.
And while you're speaking up, I just want to mention that we are going to keep working on this application in the next couple of sessions.
Yes.
So this is not the end of Garden Helper.
That's right. You'll see more of it as we go, and we'll explain more of it as we go as well. And so this particular version, one of the things that we've done here is we've added those assets into the iOS and the UWP app as well. And so now I can run it not just on my Android device, but you can see here that I can actually run it in UWP.
Pretty fantastic.
Right. And so, and you see exactly the same interface, right? So although we get our icons there, but you see the same picture, we see the same sort of UI that's here.
Pretty fantastic.
Right, and I can pick a photo, and I could say, let me just go grab this one, right? And it thinks it's a rose because we haven't implemented any of that logic yet. But you see, here's my second screen. I think it's rose, current price is 48, it's got some description text, and I can even get some more information. And it has no license associated with it. So we've got some logic that's been added into this. to be able to sort of figure out what is this photo. But we haven't implemented any of that. That's later today, Adrian.
Excellent.
And so that's what we're doing here in this on-process photo stream. We're identifying the picture, and then we're getting the plant details. Those are just interfaces, and what we have inside this project, at least to implement those, is a set of mocked classes. And so the reason why it thinks it's a rose is because our implementation of that identify picture says it's a rose. And so I could take a picture of Adrian, and he would be a rose. And so that's
kind
of the
model. Wouldn't that always be the case?
Yeah, that would always be the case. That would always be the case. That's right. You are a rose.
So we did have a couple questions that went by. One question was about using Blend as a design tool with Xamarin Forms.
Yeah. So that's not possible today. So Blend is restricted to UWP and WPF variations of XAML. But one of the things that actually is happening is very exciting.
Which actually leads to the next question.
Yeah. Is one of the things that was announced even just this week
just
is Xamarin Forms now supports XAML Standard. So XAML Standard is an attempt, or rather I should say it's an endeavor to kind of unify the dialect that we see of XAML between these different platforms.
Right, so we talked about being the same XAML, but the types were different.
That's right. So when I create, for example, a field that I can type text into in Xamarin Forms, that's going to be an entry. In UWP, that's a text box. And so it's two different controls with different properties, and so I have to kind of manage that. With XAML Standard, they're going to kind of unify some of that. So they're going to take the most common UI things, and they're going to make sure that every single one of the platforms supports them. Now, the cool thing is they're not going to break your existing XAML. So you'll still be able to use an entry if you choose.
Excellent.
It's just they'll have a facade over it that says, okay, if you type text box, then we know that's really an entry on Xamarin Forms. That's really a text box over here on UWP, and they'll kind of manage that. And what that kind of opens up for the future is potentially to be able to have a design tool like Blend, because you know I'm a big fan of Blend.
Yes, I do. We'll talk about that later on,
so
too.
So Blend is awesome. If you don't use Blend for your UWP apps, you should, as I've been sort of telling him. So hopefully what we'll see in the future is more of an endeavor to have a real design experience for Xamarin Forms, because that's really the goal.
Really exciting.
XAML Standard is in preview today. We're not going to show it because it is a preview. It's very, very new. It's just 2 days old.
Yeah.
But if you want to try it out, go grab the preview, install it, and give it a shot.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, very, very exciting. All right, so we've got some resources to kind of cover at the very end here. As Adrian mentioned, we've got the source code available to you, so you can go to this AKAMS link and go grab the source code. I will do a final push to that repo today, so you might want to wait just a couple of hours until all of our sessions are done, and then you'll be able to grab the fully final version. You can also download Visual Studio, so if you don't have Visual Studio today, you can go grab it. Be aware that Xamarin works with every edition of Visual Studio, so you can go grab the free community edition and be able to build mobile apps just like what we showed you here.
Pretty fantastic.
Very, very fantastic. We've got some getting started tutorials that are in our documentation. Our documentation team is fabulous.
Fabulous group, fabulous documentation. Yeah, Highly recommend it.
Yeah, they've got all their documentation is completely up to date, and they're a hardworking team that really makes sure to document things well. And then, of course, we have Xamarin University.
Xamarin University.
Right, so you can go to Xamarin University. There's a bunch of free content, and then if you choose, you can get into the subscriber tier that has a whole bunch of really deep technical content where you work with trainers and homework assignments and things like that to be able to really improve your developer skills.
Pretty fantastic. Should also mention quickly, don't forget we got Microsoft Virtual Academy for other training content. A lot of great content there. Tons of great content there. And of course, Channel 9's hosting all these videos, so these will be recorded and available later as well.
Yeah.
And a wealth of content on Channel 9 as well. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're pretty excited. Awesome.
Thank you very much. If you have any questions, you can send them to our Twitter account. We are taking questions live during our sessions. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. So bring your questions, tweet at us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks so much for watching.